I do appreciate the opportunity to come before you this morning, even though it's, if you can tell, I'm a little nervous. But when Eric said I was going to speak this morning, and I looked at the scriptures, and I only had three verses, I told Skeet, I said, how am I going to speak an hour on three verses? I said, doesn't Eric like me or what? Oh, I don't? Oh. Thank you. But after I got the reading and studying and looking, I asked the Lord, how am I not going to speak an hour? Because what he has in these three verses is so powerful for the church today. As we see and as we've heard from Vince and then from Jed last week on the Church of Philippians, there were some issues going on. We don't know exactly what the issues were, but there were some issues going on. And they did an excellent job over the past 2 weeks of sharing that with us. And as we go into this week, I can sense Paul's, I did sense Paul's calling to the church that there are going to be consequences for those who do not submit to Jesus and his leadership. So with that being said, before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, once again, we come before you this morning. Father, we thank you for each thing that has taken place already. Father, we thank you for the ability that you have given us to come before you and to worship and to praise, to recognize that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that he died upon the cross for our sins. Father, that we are a sinful people and that we have desires of our own. It's only when we submit and humble ourselves to your will that we're pleasing to you, Lord. This morning, as we look at your word, Father, we just ask that you would just give us ears to hear. Father, give us hearts that desire to be obedient unto you. But Father, most of all, give us the willingness and, Lord, the gratefulness to give you the glory and honor that only you deserve. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I always like to tell a little bit about where the Lord has took me on this study. And it's been a long study. As the last song that Jed shared with us this morning, the names that we recognize the Lord by, that's where my journey started. I thought, well, I'll put together the list of names that we recognize God by. We'll put them into format, and then we'll just kind of share them. And I started with that. I started with Yeshua. The Jewish name for that is Joshua. Joshua in Greek is Lizoas. Lizoas in English is Jesus. That's how we come up with Jesus. So when we read in verse 9 that God has given above all names, exalted him, given him a name of which is above every name, it's not exactly the name of Jesus. Jesus was a common name in Jewish tradition. Even today we use the word Joshua. We have a son named Joshua. He's not here this morning. But when we start looking at the names and the meaning of the names, it takes on a new effect of our lives, of how we approach God in our walk with him. And as we read those names, I know we could identify as we sang that song, each part, each one of those names has come into play in our lives at one time or another. But God had given him this name Jesus even before he was born. In Luke 2:21, it says, and when 8 days were complete for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And it means he saves. He saves. So with that being said, I want to go into our lesson. As I said, Philippians, Paul is speaking to them. Apparently they were having some issues. Do not know the issues, but we know wherever we are gathered, as people, there's going to be issues. We have differences of opinions. We have different wants. We have different desires. And we can relate to this in some way. One thing I want to say right now, I am so grateful for Covenant Church, Covenant Community. We have, I don't know how to say this, we have submitted to God's will. That's the only way I can say this, is because some of the issues that are affecting other congregations, affecting the world, they don't seem to be prevalent at Covenant Community Church. I'm going to share a story with you. I debated whether to share this or not, but Wednesday, Skeet and I was having a domestic family time. We don't normally get together. She was in the kitchen cooking. I was sitting on the sofa reading the scriptures, just fully expecting to relax that evening. And then all of a sudden, as I'm reading, the Lord says, "You need to visit Hillsdale Baptist Church." And I'm thinking, why? Why is this happening? And I fought it as long as I could. And we sat down to eat. I asked Eat, I said, "How long before supper?" She said, "Oh, another 15, 20 minutes. That was about 6 o'clock. They start services at 7. I thought, well, I'm not going to have time to get ready. So she gets it ready. We're sitting at the table. And it keeps saying, "You need to visit Hillsdale Baptist Church." And finally, I told Skeet, I said, "I need to visit Hillsdale tonight." I said, "I don't know why." I said, "The Lord is leading me to Hillsdale." And she said, "Well, I'm not going to go." And I said, "That's fine." I said, "But I need to go." And you know what? I had plenty of time to get ready, and I went. And I went, hadn't seen the people for several years since we'd been there. Great people, wonderful people. We sat around, we did the study, and I got home that night, and she said, "Well, how did it go?" I said, "Went great." But I said, "There's still some issues there." I still didn't know why God had led me there. I was able to share some scripture with some people and was able to share with the group some things that the Lord had revealed to me through his scripture. But they were having a tea party. The women were having a tea party on Thursday. And Skeet was not planning on going. She comes home Thursday and she says, or Wednesday night, she said, "I guess I'm going to the tea party tomorrow. I'm taking Mom and she took the lady she's taking care of." So I said, "That's great, you know, go have fun." She came home and she shared with me that the pastor's wife had talked with her and had wanted to thank me so much for being there Wednesday. There was a question arose in the group of why there was so much trouble in the church. And that's where I was able to share with them the scripture and to share with them that as long as we as human beings continue to fight and to battle against the will of God, there's going to be trouble. And I think this is where Paul was with the Philippians at this point when he shared with them what Jed shared with us last week about Jesus going to the cross, dying, being risen again. And now in chapters 9 through 11, verses 9 through 11, he's going to share with them, and I see this as something that is going to affect all of us. And as a church, as a believer, as a non-believer, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, this applies to you. It's universal. So let's get started. In verse 9 it says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." There again, we've heard the word Jesus. It says, "therefore," which means it's in conclusion of the consequences which was stated before. Because of the role that Christ played, because of his self-denial, his humiliation, his sufferings, and his obedience to the Father's will. He was always obedient to the Father's will. Even in the garden when he prayed, Father, if it be you will, take this cup from me. And we've heard lessons on that. Great drops of blood. But he said, not my will be done, but yours. And because of his position as Savior, he is exalted and he deserves the honor he receives. Jesus has proved himself to be the perfect Son of God. He has proved his holiness by his obedience. He has proved his love by willingly dying for sinful man. Let's not forget that he died for us when we didn't show any inclination toward him. Romans 5:8 said, but God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's part of our outreach. That's part of that Romans road we've been talking about. He's proved his power by his resurrection. No one else has ever done that. God raised him from the dead. He showed his power by showing he can change people's hearts. My heart was changed. I've heard Jed's testimony. I have many of your testimonies. Your hearts were changed. Your life were changed. Why? How? How do you explain that? It's only through the love of God. It's only through Jesus Christ. He's able to change our hearts. He's proved that he's had the best interests of God's created people, us, in mind. He left his heavenly position and took the form of a servant so that he might rescue and redeem us. So when we see verse 9 there, Jesus deserves the position that God has given him. On that same note, we do not deserve that position. We're sinful people. We prove over and over again that we're only concerned about ourselves in a lot of areas of our lives. And often only concerned about others to the degree that they can help us. And that's sometimes very prevalent when we look at people and their lives. Jesus died for sin. We committed it. We sent him to the cross. Even on our best days, when we're good, when we think that we're good, we could never earn or deserve the position that Jesus Christ has taken with God. Never. There's always a tough question followed when we read Scripture. And as we look at this today, we know that Christ deserves position, but we don't. The question is, then why do we spend so much time trying to be God? We're trying to play God. And you might say, well, how do we do that? How do we do that? I just wrote down a few things here. I'm sure a lot more could come to your mind. We ignore or modify the guidelines he's given us. We take his word out of context. Well, really, did he mean that? Is that the way he meant that? Or do I really have to do that? We want to change things to fit our lifestyle. We decide which commands are relevant and worthy of our obedience. Can we follow all the commandments? No. So Jesus had to die for us so we could do that. But we do pick and choose which ones we do want to follow a lot of times as human beings. What about if we want something? We demand that God work by our timetable. Are we impatient people? Do we try to put things in front of God? Do we ask him for something? Do we ask him to help us in something? And then we step forward and we take charge of it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Rather than waiting on his timing, we put him on our timetable. I want it now. I want it now. Not tomorrow, not next week. I want the answer today. We argue with him. Have you ever argued with God? We argue that our wisdom is better than his in the circumstances of life. I've made a lot of dumb mistakes in my life, folks, and a lot of dumb decisions. And a lot of them, I wouldn't say a lot of them, I'd say all of them is because I haven't sought the wisdom of God. I've done it, and then I go back and say, why did I do that? Well, it's because I'm impatient. I'm impatient. I haven't learned the wise counsel of God yet. We presume to judge him and call him unfair, unjust, arbitrary, insensitive. As a Christian today, if we're following God, if we're following his commandments, do you think that we're going to be called insensitive, unjust, unfair? Here's the tough one. At times, we are even found guilty trying to save people rather than pointing them to the Savior. I mean, it's one thing to talk to people and to say, you know, I do this and I do this, rather than saying that Jesus did this. This is what Jesus did to change my life. You know, I've been in a leadership role at work for 5-6 years. And the one thing that I've always noticed is that someone is always looking to get that pat on the back or to elevate themselves for something that someone else did. Rather than giving the credit to someone, we want to take that credit. I remember the first time I shared my testimony with my sisters. They said they were so proud of that way I've changed my life. They did not understand when I told them it wasn't me. It was nothing I did. It was Jesus. And that's where it needs to come from. But all too often, we want to tell people how I've changed my life, how I've done this and how I've done that. It's all Jesus. If you're a Christian today, you know him because he sought you. He sought you. He changed your life. You had to follow, but you had that choice. And you need to give him all the credit. Regardless of what we're doing, any time we make a call on this that isn't, if we're a Christian and we're following God's guidelines, we're trying to take God's authority away from him. Jesus' authority, his rightful position. That's where the name of Jesus comes in. Jesus died on the cross. He earned that position. He earned God's exaltation of him, his raising of him up. He earned that. Then verse 10, it says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. God has exalted him to the highest place that we could be, that he could be. I'm going to kind of jump the gun here a little bit, because if you jump down to verse 11, it says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's been a lot of debate as to what name God had given Jesus. But in verse 11, it says, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, Lord can be used in various ways. Even today we use it. It could be used in the New Testament. It was used like you may address a superior or sir, like today in our society. It's used as a master. Someone would address your master, Lord. And if you've watched some of the old shows, you'll see that. You'll see that take place, Lord, you know. It refers to a person who has authority over another. And third, The title Lord was used for God. The name above all names that is given to Jesus is the name Lord God. All around us today, people use the word Lord. I remember talking to some people, and they said he was Lord, but he was just a good man. He was a good teacher. If we take that into context, they are really not Christians if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to be very careful on how we use the title Lord. When a Christian calls Jesus Lord, they acknowledge him as God and as the one who has supreme authority in our lives and circumstances. They acknowledge him as the one who rules over all. He has the final say in every area of our life. Am I there yet? I'll confess to you, I'm not. I'm still human. I still want my desires. But if we call him Lord, he will prompt us and let us know that we're outside his will. And I praise him for that. I praise him for that. Before the first century came to the close, the Roman Empire was demanding that Christians acknowledge Caesar as Lord. And there was a lot of Christians who would not do that. And they were put to death because of that. In today's society, have we ever read where people have been asked to denounce Jesus Christ? You know, we're very fortunate in the United States right now. But I see there's a day coming when that's not going to be so fortunate. We're going to have to make that call. You know, the great opportunity is this. I could have brought Revelations into the study. We could have looked at Revelations and the end times and Jesus coming back and all the markings and everything, that when we're going to have to make a call, are we Christians or are we just giving lip service? Because it's very easy to say you're a Christian when we are allowed to come and sit in the congregation every Sunday morning and do what we do today and worship the Lord. And we do that because that is what God has called us to do. But there are churches meeting all over the world today that don't have this privilege. They can't, but yet they do it underground. I've always asked myself, and I've asked myself this question before. Remember when the group was shouting, kill him, crucify him. Where would I have been standing in that crowd? Today, as Christians, in this congregation, many congregations around the world, where would we be if there was persecution come upon us? I pray that I would be found still clinging to God and still worshiping his name. The trials and the testing are coming. They've happened all the way from Jesus' day, and they continue yet today. There are people who will not submit themselves to Jesus Christ and his leadership. Today, do you recognize him as ruler and giver of life? Is he the supreme position in your life and heart, or do you only pay lip service to him? If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. My prayer is that you look to him. You seek his word. You see him for who he is. We have to remember, we didn't declare him Lord. God did. He is the Lord. The question for you and me is whether we will bow before his lordship or resist it. And today, if you're not a Christian, you have not yet bowed down to that yet. We go into verse 11. It says, "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There's coming a day. There's coming a day that everyone will acknowledge Christ as Lord. It says that every knee will bow. No one will be excluded from this group. This group will include those in heaven and those on earth. It will include the spiritual world as well as the human world. There will be those who speak with words of joy. And there will be those who speak these words with sorrow. The angels and the demons will both acknowledge the rightful lordship of Christ. The saved and the lost will acknowledge the lordship. All that is nature in heaven will bow before his sovereignty, but it will not be a joyful day for everyone. When Christ is acknowledged as the Lord of life and as the rightful ruler, everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But this does not mean that everyone will be a Christian. The scripture tells us that. Matthew 7, 21 through 27, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." There's many ways to accept the Lord. Some people have gone to church all their lives. They've heard the gospel, and it was just a smart decision for them. They accepted the word. They understood it. They believed it. Then you have those who hear the word and have an emotional. I was one of those. When I've said in my testimony before, I knew about the Lord, but I didn't know the Lord. I mean, everyone knows about the Lord, right? Everyone can tell you who Jesus Christ is. Not everyone has that personal relationship with him. That's what he's talking about in these verses. Those who have built that house on a solid foundation has built their house on Jesus Christ. Not on things that they've done, not on things that they can do, but on Jesus Christ. There are some today who seem to imply that all you have to do is say the right things. We have those churches all around us today, congregations. All you have to do is this. All you have to do is that. But Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, there has to be a belief that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's Romans 10:9. We don't need to wonder if one day we will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. We will. It says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. We will acknowledge his position as the one who do it so joyfully, or as those who do so in shame and defeat. There's coming a day when we as Christians will rejoice in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that great day, we'll share in his joy. You know, we've all been to championships. We've all been to football games. We all have teams here that we like to be on. When our team wins, we're joyful. We rejoice, even though we didn't do anything. All we did is sit and watch a football game or cheered them on, but at the same time, if it's our team, we have joy because they've won. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in that heavenly day when Jesus comes back? If you're a Christian, can you imagine? I always love that song, "You Can Only Imagine." We can't even imagine what that's going to be like. The more involved we are here with Christ now, the greater the joy on that day. The joy of that day will be unlike the joy of any sports championship. It's going to be finished. You know, we watch football this season. Next season, there's another football, baseball, you name it, any kind of sport. Any challenge that we're up against, it's always next year we have to look forward, we have to prepare. Guess what? When Jesus returns, it's done. It's over. There'll be no more challenges. In light of this future heavenly reign, what difference should this make in our daily living now? First, we need to make sure that we're on the right side. Remember, everyone is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're either with him or you're against him. We won't get to heaven by merely learning the right words. We must actually be trusting the Savior. So you and I have to search our hearts. Is our faith superficial or is it real? None of us like to say that we're failing in anything that we do. In our Christian walk, that is the least thing that we want to admit. But you know what? It's the most important thing that we can do. If we're failing in an area, we need to seek out a brother. We need to seek out Jesus Christ. We need to say, God, help me. Because only he can help you. Only he can change us. Do we have a relationship with him or only passing contact? You know, I can say I know many people. I've contacted, I know them. But do I have a relationship with them? No. With Jesus Christ, I have a personal relationship because he knows me. I've come to him. Are we really trusting Christ for our salvation, or are we hoping that we can produce the right formula or learn the right words or do the right deeds? If any of these are the case, we are not trusting Christ at all. We are trusting ourselves. True faith is when we realize that we can never be good enough to earn God's favor. When I come to realize that, I got on my knees and I asked him for forgiveness. I asked him to take me into his fold. We acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross to do what we could not do for ourselves. That's the only way. We rest completely in what Christ has done for us. And our lives now is in light of forgiveness he has granted. In other words, we must really believe the gospel message of forgiveness and life in Christ. Have you done this yet? It says, then our lives will reflect God's leadership in our day-to-day experience. There's a plus to this. And I think this is what Paul was trying to get through to the church at Philippians. And if the world would learn this today, if we as a congregation learn this today, if nothing else, there's coming that day when we can relax. Do you think it's work being a Christian? It is. It's work. Every day we battle Satan because we want to do what we want to do, and God is saying, no, I'm asking you to do this. It's a battle. Have you ever watched a movie? I remember growing up, I watched The Outer Limits. How many here remember The Outer Limits? Oh, not too many. You're not going to give your age away, are you? We were watching as kids one night, we were watching a movie, and I don't know, they were on an airplane, but anyway, you know how, it's almost like on a computer today, someone says, watch this, and all of a sudden something pops out at you. It scares you, don't it? It gets you on suspense. You're sitting on the edge of your seat. But what happens if you see that rerun of that movie? It's not so suspenseful, is it? Why? Why is that? Because we know the outcome. We know what's going to happen, don't we? As Christians, we know what's going to happen. We know that God and Jesus, when he returns, is going to be victorious. And we, if we know him as Lord and Savior, are there with him. We are going to be with him. In Ephesians 1:19 through 21, it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name in his name, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. We're going to be there. We can relax. We can relax and worship. We can live confidently because we know that Christ is sitting on the throne and he reigns today. We don't have to wait till we're with him. He reigns today if we trust him. The battle is won. Salvation has been purchased through the blood of Christ. When we trust him, our future is certain. And this morning, as we close, if you're here this morning, and Jed did it last week, let's bow for prayer. Father, we just ask that your hand and mercy be upon that ambulance. Father, we don't know the situation, but you do. Father, we just ask that you would just work in the midst of whatever's taking place right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What I was about to say is, Jed, Vince, myself, Eric, if you're here this morning and you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ yet and you'd like to talk to someone, please take the time this morning. If you've heard God's message, whether you're a Christian, whether you believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, all of us are going to bow our knees and we're all going to confess that he's his Lord. Which side do you want to be on? Let's close in prayer. Father, once again, we just come to you ever thankful, Lord, for this day. Father, we do pray for the hearts of those, Lord, that do not know you as Savior yet. Father, we ask that you would just speak to them in that still, small voice. Father, I pray for this congregation, Lord, that as you've laid it upon us and as you've charged us, Father, to go and to seek those who are lost, Father, that we would be obedient, that you would find us ever humbling in ourselves and leaning upon you for the strength that we lack when it comes in this area of witnessing. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for each one here this morning. We just ask that you would just continue to lead, guide, direct in each one of our lives, Lord. And that, Father, that you would forgive us where we do fail you. All of these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.